Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges. Today's Tuesday, the day we study the Bible together as a community. This week we're studying one of Jesus' characteristics as part of our series, Jesus Is. And this week's characteristic is that Jesus is perfect. We'll learn that from a story in the Bible this week where Jesus was tempted, as many of us are, but he was tempted directly by Satan, by the devil, by evil personified. He experienced temptation. We all do. And it all comes from that same evil source, but Jesus experienced it head on, most clearly, in this story, shortly after he was baptized and began his public work and ministry. Here's that story.
And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time.
So Satan tempts Jesus with three things that should be familiar to us: wealth, power, and freedom. He tempts him with wealth. Now, you know, he wasn't giving him riches or anything, but Jesus was hungry. And Satan says, "Hey, you should just turn that rock into some bread. You could do that. You could have exactly what you need." How many of us have been tempted that way? I saw advice recently during that whole Powerball lottery thing where a man was saying the best way to win the lottery is to buy as many tickets as you can afford. It's so tempting to spend all your money on a lottery ticket, on that promise of wealth. And yet it's an empty promise. Satan also offers Jesus power. He says if Jesus would just worship Satan instead of his Father God, Satan would give him power. How many offers like that do we experience, right? Where somebody says, "If you do this one thing wrong, I'll give you a lot of right. Two wrongs will make a right." Where people invite us to compromise in hopes of something different, better. Well, finally, Jesus was offered freedom. He was told that if he just threw himself off of the roof of the temple, the highest point of the temple, surely as the Son of God, some angels would just come and rescue him, and he would show that he was truly free. He could do whatever he wanted, and there were no consequences. These three things, wealth, power, and freedom, these are the same things many of us pursue and compromise and compromise our morals for in life. We want wealth, freedom, and power, and we'll do whatever it takes to get it. This is what Satan does with Jesus. He offers him those things. Now, none of these things are awful in and of themselves. Wealth, freedom, power, these are good things that God created for us to use, but in the way that God intended. Each thing was created, actually at the beginning of time, to have a good, proper use. And what Satan's doing is telling Jesus to abuse them, to use them for Satan's purposes rather than God's purposes. For example, with wealth, way back at creation in Genesis, God said, "I have made every green plant for you." He says this to humanity. He says, "I have made all these things for you. You can eat, you can live in this garden, be sheltered, enjoy it." He creates and gives. So the irony here is that Satan is offering Jesus bread when in fact God created all plant life in this world that eventually can be used to make bread. God made these things, gave them to humanity. Jesus doesn't need to go to Satan to get bread. God has made bread. God has made this. Satan is offering God's stuff to God's Son in hopes that Jesus will fall for it. But Satan has nothing to offer except what God has created. Well, what about power? Well, way back at creation in Genesis 1, God said he gave dominion to people. He said they would rule over all these other things in creation. He gave a particular role to humanity, power, a powerful role in his universe that he created. So when Satan goes and offers power to Jesus, it's not his to give. God already gave power to people like Jesus, to humanity. Again, he's offering Jesus something that God already gave him. But he's trying to offer it, you know, a quick fix kind of thing, like here, just this is the shortcut, take this. When in fact, it's nothing. Finally, freedom. Well, way back at creation in Genesis, God said he made humans in his image. Part of that image is freedom. God is free to do whatever he wants, and he made us in his image. We have freedom. We exercise that freedom. When humanity rebelled against God and sinned, we were exercising our freedom. We have freedom. When Satan offers Jesus freedom, he's offering him nothing. Jesus already has freedom. He has the freedom of God, and he has the freedom given to humanity by God. Satan has nothing to offer. As you can see from these three things, Satan had nothing to offer Jesus at all. It was all a trick. But many of us fall for those tricks. We think we'll get the quick fix. We think we'll win the lottery. We think we'll somehow find a quick way to fame and power and fortune and freedom instead of God's way. Jesus didn't fall for the tricks. He didn't succumb to that temptation. He was able to resist. He was perfect. He was holy. He was sinless. Even facing intense, intense persecution and temptation direct from Satan himself. Well, what does all this mean for us? Does it just mean that we're going to fail? Well, we'll explore that this week. But first, I've got a question for you to think about and explore with others. What common thread do you see in Jesus' responses? From where does he get his conviction to withstand this temptation? Have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.